As the BP oil spill in the Gulf drags on, an increasing number of out-there ideas have been suggested and even attempted as potential ways to stop the leak. An idea that's been floated, but also rejected by almost every expert, involves detonating a nuclear weapon to seal the well. It may seem totally far-fetched and impractical, but it is not without precedent. In fact, nuclear weapons were used by the Soviet Union to seal off gas wells on several occasions. Joining us now are Charles Seif, the author of Sun in a Bottle, The Strange History of Fusion and the Science of Wishful Thinking. And also joining us is Roger Anderson, a geophysicist and energy researcher at Columbia University. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having us.
Charles, how many times did the Soviet Union detonate nuclear weapons to seal off gas wells?
They did it five times in all, the first one was in 1966. There was a really nasty gas well fire in Uzbekistan that they've been trying for 3 years to seal. And after a point, they just decided, heck, why don't we try nuclear weapons? And so they drilled a couple of holes nearby and dumped a 30-kiloton nuclear device down the hole, and it exploded. And about 30 seconds later, the gas fire was extinguished.
And how does a 30-kiloton device compare to the kinds of nuclear blasts that we use as our standards, for example, Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
It's a relatively small explosion. It's about double the size of Hiroshima. The largest devices ever exploded are in the megaton range, 15 to 50 megatons, which is about 1,000 times larger than.
Now, I assume that it worked, at least on some level, because they did it again and again and again.
Yes, they did. They did it five times. Four times it worked. The fifth time, explosion 1981, codenamed Pyrite, just did not work at all. And the speculation is that it was because it wasn't close enough to the borehole. But in fact, even though these are huge explosions, you have to get very, very close to the well for these to be effective, within 30, 40 meters.
Now, I'm assuming they were all on land, not on offshore locations.
That's right. Everything here was on land, and it's much, much trickier to try to bore a precision hole 5,000 feet below the surface of the water. And also, lots of other things could go wrong. In fact, the program, the Russian program, called Program Number 7, was much more focused on releasing oil and gas through nuclear weapons. That is, you take a well which wasn't producing as much as you'd hope, you throw a nuclear bomb down there and hope it kicks up the porous layers of rock so that it releases more oil or gas. And so there's obviously a chance that if anyone were foolhardy enough to try this in the Gulf, that it might make matters a lot worse.
Well, that's why I suspect, Roger, a senior Energy Department official described the idea as crazy and emphasized that it's not on the table. But a fair number of people are suggesting that we should consider it. What do you think of the idea?
I think it's completely wacko. Main reason is geologically the sediments for the first couple thousand feet down into the Gulf of Mexico Delta at that water depth are basically unconsolidated sand, and it would be like setting off trying to drive a gigantic cork into a sandbox. The oil would just go around it. I mean, you could produce a big ball of glass, which is what you would make by melting all of that sand. It would become glass, but because the thing is so soft and squishy offshore, it's just a wacko idea, completely wacko.
On land, it would create glass, and that would just be the sealant.
Well, offshore it would. You set it off. If you were to set it off at 5,000 feet of water depth and drill a well in that kind of unconsolidated delta sand, you would produce glass down there. It would melt the sand just like it does in a blast furnace and turn it into glass. But it wouldn't plug the well.
And what about
doing it in hard rock?
What about the radiation that would be released as a result of the explosion? Would that be less containable than it would be if we did this on land?
It would not be any less containable. It would be worse because it would disperse the radiation into the water column. It would be, you know, we have outlawed air tests and air bursts. Now we'd be doing a water burst. It would just be strikingly environmentally disastrous. It's just so far out there, I'd hesitate to even talk about it.
Well, what impact would that have on the surrounding areas? How close would it be to the United States or Mexico?
Well, it's over the, you know, the well is over on the far eastern side of the Gulf Delta, and so it's closer to Mobile, Alabama than it is to Mexico. So I don't think the people of Mobile are going to like that very much. It's never going to happen.
Well, Charles, Daniel Foster, writer of the National Review Online, has endorsed the idea, writing yesterday that in the madness that is Deepwater Horizon, the bomb may be the sanest choice.
Well, I think that ignores the fact that Professor Anderson made quite well is that A, it probably wouldn't work because you'd fracture the underlying seal and make matters worse as it filters up through porous rock. Also, you have the risk of contaminating the whole oil field. A lesson learned from the Russians, there was one of their oil experiments where they tried to increase the flow of oil, an explosion codenamed Griffin in 1969, a small one, 8 kilotons, which is half a Hiroshima. Turned out they contaminated the whole oil field that they were trying to work with. That contamination spread underground, and very quickly, within a few years, the oil from that field was full of strontium and strontium-90 and other radioactive contaminants, so much so that the refineries refused the oil from the field.
Didn't the French attempt using a nuclear blast as a way of turning on an oil well as well?
I'm actually not sure about that.
I'm the one. I remember this was a hydrofracture experiment that they did in northern Ethiopia, and it hydrofracture produces basically a fault by jacking water pressure up until the rock breaks, and it's used in the Marcellus Shale and this big shale play quite a lot in the U.S. now. But they tried a nuclear weapon thinking it would shatter the rock, and instead it melted the rock and contaminated the field, and they only tried it once, and it clearly didn't work as a hydrofracture mechanism.
This reminds me of the proposals during the Eisenhower and Kennedy years for plowshares for peace, where it was suggested that we could use nuclear devices to do this sort of thing or to build another canal. And it was rejected because the radioactivity would be there for such a long time that it would be useless?
That's part of it. That in fact there were a number of explosions that were actually carried out, including three which were intended to liberate gas. And in fact, our experience was very much like the Soviet experience. Two explosions, codenamed Gas Buggy and Rulison, did in fact release gas in deposits. The problem is, it turned out to be radioactive, and no one wanted to use the gas. So it was a Pyrrhic victory.
So I'm still wondering why so many people are taking it seriously. Widespread discussion about this nuclear option started after an item appeared in a Russian newspaper apparently endorsing the idea, and the topic has also made its way to the front page of the New York Times just today. If it's so crazy, why do you think that so many people are talking about it?
It's a desperate thing to have to wait 2 months for this relief well. But really, the odds of successfully stopping the blowout with a relief well, with the kinds of new technologies that we have in terms of steering drill bits, it's really quite phenomenal. But it's highly successful now. They will succeed in 2 months' time. The problem is, it takes them that long to get down to the top of the reservoir to do the cement job to stop the flow.
And there's this frustration that we have all this power at our fingertips. We have the ability to build a weapon that can lift a huge column of atmosphere and send it off into space, that can turn vast areas into glass. Why can't we use these devices to solve this little problem? But unfortunately, the practicalities are such that it just won't work.
Now, the relief well, as you point out, is going to take a couple of months to complete. Meanwhile, does that mean that the oil is going to continue flowing unabated in these huge quantities that we've been seeing so far?
Well, I think that this cap that they're trying now has a reasonable chance of at least suppressing and catching some of the flow. But, Spindletop, the biggest blowout in North American history in turn of the 1900s there, blew 100,000 barrels for months onto the Texas Plains, Salt Dome country there in Beaumont, Texas. So the field is huge that they've discovered, a billion barrels, I'm sure, and this oil getting out is a drop in the bucket compared to what's down there. That's what everybody's worried about, is it's going to keep flowing at that volume for years unless they get in there and plug it. But I think the chances are very high that they will succeed with the relief wells. And the fact they're doing two of them instead of one doubles their chance for success.
How long did it take for Spindletop to be cleaned up?
Oh, Lord, I don't know. There's a whole museum down there. If you ever have a chance to go visit Beaumont, Texas, there's a whole museum about it. It was a god-awful mess. The Salt Dome is still covered in heavy black tar. It's the blowout itself is food, so over the geologic time, the critters will eat it and be happy, and it will eventually go away. The problem is that it will take a great long time to eat all of that food that's come out, which is basically uneaten food, is what hydrocarbons are.
But is it better that it's on it's in water, or would it be better if it were on land?
Oh, you know, the problem with the loop current comes into account. The water gives it the capability of being dispersed over a wide area. Spindletop did not flow very far, and it was kind of tarry oil in the first place. And, a blowout on land doesn't go as far as one underwater.
Yeah, this one could go, if it gets into the Gulf Stream, it could go all the way up to the British Isles and further.
Yeah, we could get it on our beaches in New York, and God knows the uproar that would raise.
The people in the Hamptons, if they knew that was a possibility, they'd probably go out there and find a new technology within a couple of days. Well, I want to thank the two of you so much for talking with us on Backstory. Roger Anderson is a geophysicist and energy researcher at Columbia University, and Charles Seif is the author of Sun in a Bottle, The Strange History of Fusion and the Science of Wishful Thinking. It's been a pleasure having you on our show today.
Thank you very much.